I was thinking that in the book of Philippians, it concludes also with this thought of prayer. And it was, we made mention of it yesterday, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then there is the peace of God that passes all understanding. In that same chapter, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But I think in the book of James, it's prayer as a real tool. We mentioned that this is God's basic training. And we should never forget, sometimes we minimize the value of prayer. There's wisdom. There's the trial. There's the journey. There's the world. There's the flesh. How do we deal with all of these things? Verse 13, is there someone afflicted? Let him pray. Is there some sick among you? It says, let him call the elders. Let them pray over him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. When we confess our faults one to another, pray one for another. Then it says the effectual fervent prayer. Before we were talking about the things that hinder prayer. Our lives, our shortcomings, strife, bitterness. It says here the effectual fervent prayer connected now again to a righteous man avails much. So I believe it's saying at the close of the book of James that if we are in the proper spiritual condition or state where we are honest before God. Now, we're not talking about perfection, right? Because we know that we're not in the state of perfection. But it's in a state where we're honest before God, where our desires for Him draw an eye unto God, He will draw an eye unto thee. We first have to have that desire to go to God. God has never moved. Sometimes we talk about, well, you know, God has changed. Well, no. God is right where He's always been. It is our position that has changed towards God. So we draw to Him, draw nigh to Him, and He draws nigh unto us. And then I believe it has an effect. It makes prayer effectual, effective, and it's fervent prayer of a righteous man that will avail much. It is a great tool, young people, that we have. We should begin with prayer. We should be constantly in prayer, and we should end with prayer each day of our lives.
It's specific. It's passionate. Mm. The person praying is not a hypocrite. He was a righteous man. Mm. Have we ever prayed, Lord, bless Mary and Sue and Hannah too, and meet my needs and take care of everything? See, it's not this kind of prayer. This prayer, this was something specific. I was looking for some verses in Acts and I couldn't find them. But it is that which was specific that was being asked for the Lord to work. Mm. Now, what does prayer, what does it really say? Mm. When Peter was in prison, do you remember? He was sleeping between two soldiers. His head was going to be taken off the next day. Sleeping. Think of that. Did the Lord not know that difficulty was there? Was the Lord not aware that Peter was in this terrible predicament? Wonderful thing. It's when the saints came together and they began to pray that the hand of God began to move. You want another example? Go earlier in the book of Acts. And you'll find that the house was shaken where they sat when they prayed. Didn't the Lord know they had needs before they prayed? Well, of course the Lord knew. But prayer is our active dependence upon Him. The recognition that this is a mountain. I can't do anything about it, but Lord, I want to come into the presence of the One that can remove a mountain. We've said it before. We often say, well, you know, I couldn't do anything else. All I could All I could do was pray. And we minimize as though prayer then becomes the least thing that we can do for the difficulty, when in fact the Lord would say, you need to turn your thinking around. And you need to adjust your thinking to realize that the greatest thing we can do is pray. And the least we can do is try to work things out through our own means, and how often we make a mess when we do that. The greatest thing that we can do, behold, he prayeth. Mm-hmm. That's how the disciples recognized the Apostle Paul. We remember that. Behold, he prayeth. So, what a lesson. What a lesson to end this book on. I'm not sufficient. I will leave here and make no adjustments if I ignore what we've had in the last reading.
I just want to say this at the end of the closing of James. It's 5 chapters, easily to be read. But it's amazing that the Spirit of God, out of these 5 chapters, brings almost 5 characters before us. It opens up to another book. So now I'm going to ask these questions at the end. When we think of wisdom, you think of who?
Solomon.
When you think of patience and endurance, you think of who?
Job.
When you think of justification, you think of who?
Abraham.
Abraham and Rahab. Mm-hmm. When you think about prayer, you think of Elijah. It's worthwhile reading these books and reading really what occurred in the lives of these brothers and sisters. You will come to the conclusion of Elijah's conclusion that if it's a man of prayer, you know what the prayer held? 3.5 years. Don't think about that. One prayer, one utterance, one statement to a man who is acquainted with the presence of God can hold reign for 3.5 years. That's a long time, brethren. But God did it. You know why? It was a righteous man.
Amen.
And he hearkened to it and did it. So it's worth investing time, dear brethren, after the end of this wonderful 2 days, to go read more about Abraham. Go read more. Read the book of Job. It's a very interesting book. Read more about Elijah. It will not be a waste of time, I can assure you.
And actually, there's one more person who could have been the answer to all of those questions.
Go ahead, brother.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.